Yeah, that was... That was a bit freaky. Yes, it was. I'm thinking the equipment's breaking.
Yeah. Can't help myself. I'd apologize, but no point.
No point. And it's... Basically, we have not done a fishing report in a while. One of the things, you do fishing reports in the hopes that you will get busy and you get some business and all that. And much to my chagrin, it actually kind of worked, and we have been unbelievably slammed. We've had that with people getting sick, people taking vacations, me getting sick. There's just been so many things going on. And it takes two people to do the fishing report. And it is not something that I can't bring someone into work for an hour. I have to give them like a 6-hour shift. Right. So I have to pay somebody for 6 hours so I can come in and do a fishing report. And it's expensive. It takes a while. And it takes a couple of people. And finding the time to get everybody in the position and everything. And this is the one day a week I try to at least take off at least one day a week. And I am here doing the fishing report because I feel very guilty because I have not done a fishing report in a while. And luckily, Josh Olive said that he would come in and help me. So go to the Fish Coach or fishcoach.net. It's you can just click the little thing next to his name. This is fishcoach.net. See his website. Josh goes out with people, shows them where to go, what to do, how to catch fish, be it on a pier, the beach, in your swimming pool, or out in your boat in the harbor or the Gulf.
We catch very few fish in most swimming pools, but it's a great learning tool.
Mm-hmm. So... Anyway, all that being said, we do apologize for not getting them up, but just to let you know, it is an expensive proposition, and it is hard to coordinate everything, and Robert's on vacation right now. Carl's been booked full-time with charters. We've just had a lot going on, and we do try very, very hard to get this out every week.
Yeah, but you got to stop right now, because if you add any more excuses to that boatload, you're going to sink this vessel.
Well... It's reasons, not excuses.
In any event, here we are to help out with the fishing report now. So,
yes.
Look,
so we are doing the very best we can. So, you know, and sometimes it's actually reasons, not excuses. There's no excuse for not doing the fishing report, but there's several reasons we wouldn't do it. And reasons are it's expensive and it takes a lot of time. So anyway, so it doesn't take up any more time. We will get to it. What's going on in the Peace River?
On the Peace River. Well, I'll tell you what. I've talked to some people who have been having some great success up there, and I've talked to some people who are doing terribly up there. And a lot of the people who aren't doing very well seem to be trying to fish it like they would fish out on the flats. They're not understanding that you need to be fishing it right now like you're a dock fisherman. So that's where the fish are being found. And what we've seen is good redfish up there.
Explain what you just said.
A dock fisherman. You need to focus on man-made structure. A lot of people want to avoid the man-made structure. They want to fish it like they're going to fish looking like you're fishing mangrove shorelines or like you're fishing out on the flats and avoiding all of that man-made structure. And it just isn't working for them. They're not finding a lot of fish in those kinds of areas. You got to focus on the places where people have built stuff. That's where the fish are hanging out.
The docks, the power lines, bridges, stuff like that.
Yes, and the docks especially has been where those fish are hanging out. And it only makes sense because, although today it's a little cooler because it's rainy, it's been hot. It's been sunny, and those fish have been seeking out the coolest spots they can get to. And those coolest spots have been the shaded areas, which has been the docks. That's where those fish have been hanging out.
Now, what fish are we talking about?
So we're seeing some snook up there. A lot of the bigger snook seem to be hanging out up the rivers still. You know, I get people talking to me about, oh, well, all the big snook are going to head out to the beaches to spawn, which you and I know is completely inaccurate. A lot of those big fish stay up the rivers.
Well, it's not completely, but it's mostly true, but not completely true, because most of the fish will try to get there. But once again, I always fall back to the thing. The fish don't stick their head out of the water and go, oh, look, I'm at the I-75 bridge, and I still got 20 miles to go. They just get to a certain level of salt. And so if there's no rain coming down the river, no water flow, they don't know the difference between the mouth of a canal, being in the river, being in the harbor, or being in the Gulf.
So we've talked to the biologists about this, and about 30 to 40% of the female snook tend to skip years in spawning. So you're not getting every fish heading down to the beach. There are definitely still some good-sized snook up in the rivers, and that's been a lot of what people are catching.
I tell people about redfish, not all the redfish come back every year.
Right.
Because redfish don't live in Charlotte Harbor. They grow up here. This is the nursery school, the high school. They get out of high school, and they take off with the adults to go traveling. But only a percentage of them come back each year. So whether it's 50% or 30% or 70%, a certain amount of them, because if they're up in the Carolinas, they're not going to make it back here in time to spawn. And they don't always spawn every year. So a lot of fish do that. Especially yep. ones that grow up in an area and then go traveling, like tarpon. All the tarpon that were born in Charlotte Harbor don't necessarily come here every year.
Definitely not.
So anyway, the snook don't all go down, and they don't all turn to female. Some big snook are definitely male. They're not 100% females. There is, except the ones with the big extra bone.
What's with this extra bone thing?
You know, Jeff heard about that years ago. This is a myth and a rumor that's been going around, I guess, for many years. Just you and I either heard it and discarded it, or no one was ever, like, coming up to tell us about it. But the new myth thing that's been going around is big snook have an extra bone, that's why they get so big. It's a ridiculous concept.
Nobody's been able to tell us where this big bone is, what part of the fish it's in, nor how it actually affects the growth of the snook. But
how would you know if a snook had an extra bone or not? And just because they're big, okay, they all start out little and they've got to get bigger. So if you right. caught him when he was little, how would you know?
Well, maybe he had an extra bone then, and that allowed him to grow to full size. It might be that you could find that extra bone in a 20-inch snook while he's young, but if you let that fish grow, he's going to get to 60 inches.
Gotcha.
Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
There is no truth at all, or even a little bit. The truth of it is, there is sword spine snook, tarpon snook, fat snook, and common snook. Am I missing one?
There is another one. I don't remember what the species is called that they found by DNA testing here in Florida. So there are five. But here in Southwest Florida, we only get the common snook.
We have the other ones.
It's very uncommon to find any of the other species north of the Caloosahatchee.
But there are some of those other snook, but they generally do not get more than 20 to 24 inches. And I would say people who have fished from the Everglades through Charlotte Harbor have caught and released a tarpon or a sword spine or a fat or something at one point. You would just never know it.
Yeah, if you're fishing the Everglades, the 10,000 Islands area, even up around Estero Bay, you'll occasionally catch one of those species. I've only seen where there's been one sword spine snook documented in Charlotte Harbor. But, I mean, again, it's a fish that most people aren't going to recognize.
So. No one's going to recognize it if they saw it. It's just a snook. Okay, I caught a little snook. Okay, that was cool. Put it back in the water. So let's go back to the Peace River. What's going on in the Peace River?
Okay, we talked a little bit about the snook. We've got some redfish, too.
Right.
Those have been on the smaller side. I haven't heard anybody say they've caught one over 20 inches, but they're in the same place. They're hanging around underneath those docks. We've also had some smaller tarpon that have been active up there, but that's been real hit or miss. You get people who have spots that they like to go to, and the best area that I've heard has been around Liverpool.
Okay. And there's a lot of mangrove snappers in the canals at Harbor Heights. And there's Mayan cichlids and some tilapia, which I can never spell tilapia.
T-I-L-A-P-I-A.
Okay, and those fish have all been caught because English John was fishing by my house for a long time. He caught a lot of them. He was all excited when he finally broke 100 fish. So I-75, what's going on there?
I-75 has been slow from what I've been hearing. A lot of the guys are heading, like I said, up towards the docks to find fish. I've only heard about a couple of black drum being caught under I-75. They didn't even catch any redfish there.
I've had a couple reports of some snook, but very few. But you're possibly going to find a snook or black drum up there.
Sure, and I would say that your best bet to go up there would be to fish, you know, really low light conditions, because that's when those fish are going to be moving around more.
Okay, and 41 Bridge?
41 Bridge has been a little bit more active. We've been seeing a lot of folks fishing that new park on the north side of the bridge and catching, again, some smaller redfish. We've had some reports of some really nice black drum down there also. Fish up to about 40, 45 pounds being caught on cut blue crab. The snook activity seems to be a little slower up there for most people. I've talked to a couple of the guys who are snook specialists, and they say they're biting just fine, but those guys are fishing through the middle of the night. They're vampires. So if you're willing to be a vampire with them, then you probably have a pretty good shot. If you're going down there when everybody else is fishing, probably not too many. Did hear about a couple of cobia caught from the upper part of the center span.
Alright, and the mangrove snapper bite has been pretty good around the bridge, and up to 14 inches.
Very nice.
So, not bad.
Good mangs.
Alright, let's jump, and God, I've got some pictures that are not loaded on here, I don't know why. Alright, Lashley Pier.
Lashley Pier, it's been kind of the same thing that they're seeing on the other side, except it's been a little bit slower. I have also been hearing about some trout caught over there. You've got that area around there where there's rubble that you can fish to, and that rubble is mostly covered up with mud, but there still seems to be enough structure there that it's holding a few trout.
All right, the sharks and a possible cobia is there, but they've been getting some sharks, some mangrove snappers, and a little bit of whiting. Lashley's actually not been doing bad lately. Lot better than what it's been over the last, you know, bit of time, so actually worth a shot. And that's going to take us over to Bayshore Pier, and maybe sharks and possible whiting, but not a lot else.
Yeah, the only report that I've had from Bayshore was somebody who was fishing it from a boat, and they caught a short cobia.
Okay. Unless it's, oh, that was really bad. my fingers are not cooperating at all. All right, let's see, Port Charlotte Canal Systems.
Now, the Port Charlotte Canals have actually been doing pretty well. Those black drum that we were seeing down there underneath the bridge, we've been seeing a lot of them in the canal system. And if you're watching those black drums swim by and you're not able to hook them, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't freak yourself out. They're going to be coming through those same areas a lot of the time later on in the day. So if you watch those fish swim around, come back a little bit later down towards sunset and fish yourself a big shrimp on the bottom or a half a blue crab, and you've got a really good chance of catching one of those fish. There's been a good mix of sizes. We're seeing fish anywhere from about 20 inches to, like I said, those big boys.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been buying a lot of the big blue crabs, mm-hmm. because we're getting a lot of people going out. They just, you know, jam a hook through them, whack them in half, toss them on the bottom, let them sit for those big black drum.
And I think a lot of people have discovered the joy of fishing for those guys when you're using that crab versus using the shrimp, because with the shrimp, you catch so many catfish in those canals. And with the crab, I very rarely catch a catfish, and if I do, it's usually going to be a big sail cat, which is almost as much fun as a black drum, plus they're pretty good to eat. So I have no complaints about that. Now, we're also seeing some snook in the canals as well. Again, the numbers aren't quite what we had before, but there's definitely been some fish around, especially if you've got lights to fish, and they don't need to be underwater lights. They can be overhead lights as well. We're also getting some decent reports of sand bream, which is one of those overlooked species that not a whole lot of people fish for, but if you want a fish that you can eat,
saltwater
fantastic.
Crappie. It's yeah. A saltwater crappie is what it is. They have a similar look, very similar taste and texture. It's an awesome fish. Crappie jigs tipped with a little piece of peeled shrimp meat. I peel the shrimp tail off, slice it with a knife about quarter inch pieces, put it on the point of the hook, put the crappie jig below a small bobber, and just fish next to the seawall or next to the dock. And there's actually quite a few of them, and they're very tasty, and they fight real good too, you know, for their size.
Well, they got that right shape so they can turn sideways and pull against you. Just makes it that much more fun.
Elder Bean Pier.
Elder Bean is where I've been hearing more whiting being caught. In fact, that seems to be almost as abundant as the mangrove snapper. They're doing both of those fish, and both of them are being caught on cut shrimp. They're not having really too much issues with finding stuff out there. Haven't heard of any cobia found over there, but if there's cobia on the other side, there's got to be some cobia hanging out at Elder Bean. The one thing I have been hearing about is some tarpon that are rolling down there on the far side of the bridge, so it's going to be hard to fish them from the pier, but if you've got a boat and you can get underneath and get downriver, that's where they've been hanging out, on the downriver side.
Okay. And the Mayaca River area, Tippy Canoe, the Cutoff River.
The Cutoff has been fantastic. That's one of the places I'm hearing about the best red fishing in the upper part of the harbor. Again, most of these guys are going to be small, but they're seeing pretty good numbers of fish up there. We're talking about guys going out and catching half a dozen or more in a day, which, you know, 3 years ago wasn't an amazing redfish day by any means, but nowadays, hey, that's pretty awesome.
Well, everybody keeps telling me about the good old days. Well, I remember the good old days when you could fish 2 weeks to a month before you found a redfish. They were just none around. They were scarce. They were hard to find. And it was back in the early, mid-90s. They were just gone. They even were put on the endangered list, so to speak, for a while.
Right.
And eventually they came back. And for all these people who, you know, want stuff to happen, what they used to do is when snook was in season, redfish was out of season. When, you know, redfish was in, snook was out. They just flip-flopped the two of them during the seasons. And that, to me, was kind of makes sense. But you always had some type of good, edible game fish that you could go after. And that was a really good thing. The only other thing I wish they'd do is open up New Year's Day to snook fishing. Because it keeps people off the road, gives them something to do. They would go out in a boat and snook fish till midnight. That was, used to be, the end of snook season was December 31st. So at midnight, January 1st, it was over. You know, December 31st.
Gotcha.
You know. And we used to, just hundreds of people go out to sit in a boat. And, you know, that was how they went to celebrate the end of the year and the beginning of the new year, was to snook fish. And it was a great tradition. And
before you leave that, we've also been seeing some schools of jacks on the south end of Hog Island, out there off of the off the flat where the water starts to deepen up a little bit.
Okay.
And I've heard about a few bull sharks being caught up there. Not big monster bull sharks, but, you know, fun-sized bull sharks. 3, 3.5 footers. And those guys are so easy. You just catch a jack, cut them up into chunks, put out some jack chunks. Next thing you know, bull shark.
Bull shark, cut up jacks. Yeah, there you go. Okay, that's well said. All right, South Gulf Cove.
Man, am I glad I don't live in South Gulf Cove. Not because it's not an awesome place to fish. We've been getting a lot of fish caught in there, but have you been watching the reports for how often that lock goes down?
Oh, and what was funny is I was there giving a talk. I said, you know, if you guys argue and petition, you can get that lock taken out. And they were just aghast, because then their boats would go up and down with the tide.
Yeah.
And they don't want that.
Nope.
But, you know, I look at BSI and the O'Hara, Manchester, and all that are absolutely loaded up with fish for a lot of the year right now, and other places where they've taken out the locks and the fish have just moved in massive numbers. And so to me, okay, I got to put up my boat going up and down, or a lot more fish.
Right.
Okay. And nope, they ain't having any part of it. They want to keep their lock.
So you got to be careful if you're going into South Gulf Cove. If you're not resident in there, you need to have a plan for what am I going to do if when I go to leave, the lock doesn't work and doesn't work for the next 20 hours. So,
yeah. I mean, they have some of the nicest people I've ever met live in South Gulf Cove. We've gone out there and given several talks, and they're just awesome people. But I, you know,
yeah.
Hey, you know, you're not going to agree with everybody, and everybody's got their own thing, their priorities.
So yeah. There's been a great mix of stuff going on in South Gulf Cove.
What is it?
The bass bite has actually been pretty good up in the areas where you're finding freshwater vegetation, and they're catching a lot of Mayan cichlids up there, too. The tilapia have been a little slow, but the Mayans are more than making up for it. So heading up in there with little minnows or spinnerbaits is going to be your best bet for catching both of those species. The bigger your lures are, the more likely you are to catch fewer Mayans, and it doesn't really help your bass bite out that much. So I like to use something that's pretty small up there. Now, in the saltwater portions, we're also seeing a fair number of trout up there and some pretty good-sized snook. It looks like a lot of those snook are not leaving that canal system, so they're not doing much spawning, or at least not much successful spawning.
We haven't really had the high water for them to be able to get out.
Yeah.
It takes some fairly high water because there is a couple of creeks and passages, but they're kind of eroded in, and there has to be a lot of high water. We have real strong west winds, those fish can get out of there. But without that, they're pretty much trapped.
And I think that being trapped in there, that they're not successfully spawning, and they're turning that energy into growth instead. So they're doing really well in there. And I've also heard from some of the guys who like to fly fish that they're catching some smaller tarpon around a lot of the bridges. You know, fun-sized tarpon.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this summer, a lot of them will be able to successfully go because we're heading into the time where we have a lot more water. We're going to eventually end up with west winds. Now, El Nino, from what I heard, is going to be, they're predicting it to last through the summer. But, so that means a lot less hurricanes because the wind blows from west to east. It's a lot of shearing, hard for the storms to get together. But even in El Nino year, you get at least one or two storms.
Right, that come up from the south. They don't usually come off of Africa, but they come out of the Caribbean.
And the problem with that is all it takes is one if it's your house.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a tornado. If you have a smaller tornado that goes through a town and it hits six houses, it's not very catastrophic unless it's your house. If you're the house next door or the house on the other street, well, that tornado was no big deal. But if it destroyed your house,
yeah,
you
kind of matters a little bit.
Yeah, so that's the thing you got to watch for this year. Is probably not going to be many hurricanes, but we are all laughing because they are re-nourishing the beaches at the start of hurricane season.
Yeah.
It should be against the law. Literally, I mean, they could have just given me that money to put towards some good vodka and maybe a little bit of moonshine. And my preferred moonshine's out of Pennsylvania. I think Pennsylvania makes the best moonshine there is. Now, there are some great southern and other states, but Pennsylvania, warm place in my heart for the moonshine that comes out of there. Something about a still in the backwoods of Pennsylvania, maybe it's just the flowers and they're the trees that are there, but wow.
I'm going to have to take your word for it.
I wouldn't have any, but, you know, and I wouldn't really know because that would be legal to have, but
right.
I could let you try some.
If we were in Pennsylvania, which we're not.
Oh, yeah, which we're not. And I wouldn't have any. No.
Right. Okay. Naturally not.
West side, West Wall Arbor.
I haven't heard a lot out of the West Wall, actually. The only thing that I've heard is that some of those jacks that have been up around Hog have been moving down the West Wall, too. But I haven't talked to many people who are fishing that side of the harbor.
Okay. Moving on down to Cape Hayes.
Sharks. Lots of sharks. We're seeing a lot of bonnet heads up on the bar itself and on the drop-off. and we're seeing a fair number of black tips, especially on the western side, where it starts to drop off the bar into Gasparilla Sound. Now, up along the mainland shore, Cape Hayes proper, that's where we're starting to see some redfish and some trout, and oddly enough, the trout have been hanging out underneath the trees with the redfish rather than hanging out on the grass. Partly because the grass over there doesn't look so good, but also, I'm guessing, because it's been so warm.
Yeah, I try and tell people, if you're out there in the sun and it's uncomfortable for you, it's uncomfortable for the fish. So use yourself as the barometer for, do you want to fish in the open waters or do you want to fish, you know, up under the trees? If you're uncomfortable in the sunlight, so will the fish. So fish underneath in the shade, and if you're comfortable in the sun, so will the fish.
Now the sharks have been the exception to that, though. They've been hanging out more in the open water areas, and a lot of the guys who are fishing the open water areas with shrimp, expecting to hook into some smaller trout and maybe a redfish if they get lucky, are catching the bonnethead sharks instead. So
yeah, bonnethead use shrimp, black tips use fish.
And the cool thing about the bonnets is that their teeth, especially on the side of their mouth, are so flattened out because they're adapted for crushing shells rather than biting through fish, that even if you're just using monofilament or fluorocarbon leader like you would for trout, you end up actually catching a lot of those fish successfully. Where with the black tips, most of them will end up cutting through your lighter leaders. You need metal.
All right, bull bay, turtle bay?
Bull and turtle have both been all right, not lighting the world on fire, but pretty good. Again, we're seeing some of those redfish and trout underneath the trees. We're also adding an increasing number of snook, especially as we move over into bull and out of turtle. The oyster bars over there have also had some fish on them, especially when you get good moving water. The downtide sides have been a reasonable place to expect to find some redfish and, again, some more of those black drum. On the outside of that, just outside the bays, we've been seeing some Spanish mackerel schooling up along with ladyfish. Usually it's a mix of the both together, so you don't know exactly what you're going to hook into. And whenever you find that, there's going to be some bigger sharks around as well. We're not seeing any massive sharks up there that I'm hearing about, but again, black tips, and we're getting into some better size fish, those 4 and 5 footers.
Yeah, well, the problem with the, you know, here's a question for you, and I know I knew this, but I can't remember. Can a bonnet shark lay still and sleep?
No. They have to keep moving.
Bonnets have to keep moving.
Yeah, bonnets are in the hammerhead family, and all hammerheads are what they call obligate ram ventilators, which means if they stop moving, they stop breathing. And it doesn't take long either.
Yeah, I would have sworn a bonnet could have laid still, and I don't know why. I guess because I see them in such shallow water back there, but I guess they're so small they can just meander around pretty well in the shallows. Okay.
Yep. Nope, they got to keep going. Now, we have seen, and I haven't heard this past week, but we have seen an increasing number of small nurse sharks up in there, up in those areas, and those obviously will hang out and lay still and not do much of anything.
Well, nurse sharks, bull sharks, lemon sharks can lay still.
Yeah. And bulls can't lay still for a long period of time. Bulls
have, can sleep.
Yeah, they can sleep, but they only get about a half hour before they have to get going again. Lemons and nurses can lay there for days.
Okay. I couldn't figure out why I had the red line under Spanish, and then I looked and
it was spelled wrong.
Yeah, it was. It
That's
was
what the red line's for, Frank.
Really bad, but I just couldn't figure out why the spelling was there. Okay. Gasparilla Sound?
Out in the open?
Sure.
Out in the open, it's been fairly slow. I did hear about some fish that were being caught on overcast days when most other people didn't want to go out there. Mm. And they said that the flats were actually fantastic and alive with life out there in the rainy days. Mm. A whole mixed bag of fish.
The trout, I was going to say, what kind of life?
The trout, the redfish, the snook. All of the fish that you would hope to catch out there on the flats have been active out there, along with a handful of pompano, not large numbers. I've also heard about a couple of flounder being caught out there in the areas where you have a little bit deeper mixed sand and grass. So I would expect if you went out there and maybe tried to catch flounder by dragging a piece of cut fish belly or something across the bottom, you'd probably have a realistic chance at catching some of those fish. since almost everybody catches them by accident.
Gotcha. All right. Let's see. I think I put the thing up here for Dr. Dave because I have an appointment with him and I have missed two of them. So, dang, I got to get back to the doctor. I know I'm supposed to go. So, but, you know, hey, you do what you can do when you can do it, right?
Sure. I'm not even clear on what you're talking about.
Well, I got a doctor's appointment because I was so messed up there a while back, and I got to go there, and I haven't actually made the doctor's appointment. I've been busy here. So it's kind of a catch-22. I need money to go to the doctor because I haven't had insurance since our last administration when they brought in that wonderful health care system, and because I'm not poor and I'm not rich.
Right.
And I'm in that middle thing where I'm stuck because everything went sky high for me.
And you have plenty of time to go today, but for some reason he's not open on Father's Day? What's up with that?
Yeah, and if I don't go to work, I can't afford to go there. So,
right.
You know, it's one of those things. So, anyway, Placida Pure, Dressel.
This is one of the best places to go to if you're trying to catch something to eat from shore. The mangrove snapper bite has been really good down there. Hearing about some really good fish, like you mentioned earlier, we're catching some 14-inch fish up here in the upper harbor. Those same fish are down there, only in greater numbers. So I've even heard about some fish that are pushing 16 inches being caught down there. If you want to catch those bigger mangrove snapper, you can't fish them like you fish the little ones. You can fish with cut shrimp or something like that, and you will catch plenty of mangrove snapper, but they're not going to be those larger fish. If you want the bigger ones, you really want to use a live fish for bait. If you can get a little white bait, that's fantastic. If you can get sailfin mollies, those are working. A little pinfish would probably be my top choice.
I can honestly tell you one of the best kept secrets is silversides, frozen silversides. Use them whole. You only need like a same hook you always use. Just put that frozen silverside on there, and the big ones, these silversides are what people are finding to get these big snook or big mangrove snappers from the piers and all that. The silversides are what's making the difference. It is the canal bait of choice at the moment.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's still a very well-kept secret because they're not easy to buy. We can't get a lot of them, and we get a bit, and I order what I can get, but we sell out every week.
So you're just putting one on the hook like you would any other bait fish?
Just one. And they're not big, and they're kind of yellowish with kind of a silver side. It doesn't really, there's no reason it should be as good as it is. But unless you're listening to this report, you're not going to know that.
They're also seeing some snook down there. That's really close to the pass there. So a lot of those fish that have been hanging out doing their spawn thing are moving up into the Placida Trestle area to find some food because there is a lot of bait fish and crabs and shrimp and stuff that hang out there at the Trestle. So it's a great place for a fish to go find something to eat. Have not heard about any redfish being caught down there this week, but there was a little run of redfish last week. Whether those fish were just kind of a fluke or will be back, who can say?
Well, a lot of them kind of go from the Gulf coming in and swinging around in the Gulf.
Right.
I think they're just kind of practice swimming or something. You know what I mean?
Well, and a lot of it goes to the same thing the snook are doing, is trying to find something to eat. And those fish, when they're schooling like that, they're always foraging. It's like a herd of cows that moves through an area trying to find something good to graze on. When they find it, they eat it until it's gone, and then they move.
All right, well, let's say, for instance, on a random thought, because I like random thoughts, let's say some of these biologists are right, and the deforestation and excessive CO2s would cause the planet to heat up.
Okay.
Now, I believe they're probably right, even though I have not yet been able to find a CO2 index. What I have found is, like, moisture content indexes, as the Earth gets warmer, gets more moisture in the air, and the moisture in the air is actually what's causing the planet to heat up.
Because water vapor is one of the best greenhouse gases there is.
Exactly. And they talk about the CO2 like there's some type of thing to it, but there is no formula for it, for what CO2 does or doesn't do. So I have a hard time believing that aspect of it. But I can believe that as the Earth gets warmer, the water vapor helps increase the temperature. that actually makes sense. The whole CO2 thing, I'm not sure if it's just kind of a catchphrase for what these people do.
Here's where the carbon dioxide part came from. It came from the understanding that in previous eons of the Earth's periods, we had higher temperatures, and those higher temperatures correlated with higher levels of CO2. Okay. So determining exactly what the CO2 does, it's not like you can say, well, one extra ppm of CO2 in the atmosphere will raise the temperature 0.003 degrees.
Exactly. But they don't know that CO2 actually does anything. Okay. You know, they think it does.
Right. It's correlation rather than causation.
Yeah. They think, you know, that this is that and that's that. But they don't really know. But if you don't really know something, I can make a good guess. And I believe that if, let's say they were true, the dinosaurs would have killed themselves, because you had massive herbivores going across. You see Jurassic Park and you see a pile of poo that's like 6 feet high.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that took, you know, 8 times that volume of plant. So one herbivore eating 600 pounds of leaves and grass a day, you know what I mean? And then multiply that by all the animals you see in Jurassic Park, and that would be one barren, stripped-out island. No, there would be no vegetation
that's
left.
That's true, but when you add in the fact that we were dealing with a warmer climate that had higher carbon dioxide levels and higher levels of water vapor, you basically have everything growing like it would in a tropical rainforest, because
but
the elevated
about the
CO2
massive
levels.
Herds of herbivore dinosaurs that were absolutely huge, and they would have gotten so many of the dinosaurs, they would have literally deforested the place, and they were all pooping, and they all say that us humans and cattle, you know, releasing methane gas is the biggest reason the planet's going that way. They don't tell you that, but that's actually what they say. Humans and cattle provide
more of that.
Well, sure,
they do say that. And methane is another great greenhouse gas, not quite as good as water vapor, but
I'm just saying, you know, when the dinosaurs have been self-defeating, they would have chewed up all their vegetation and then farted their way into extinction. Let's go back to the fishing. Lemon Bay and Stump Pass.
I never understood the question.
Lemon Bay and Stump Pass.
You know, a lot of the guys that I talk to who fished up that way.
Aren't you glad you do shows with me?
Have been more complaining than doing fishing, because of the blue-green algae that we've had growing up there, which has been growing over the grass flats and dying off, and it's nasty black stuff. And if you're in an area where that stuff is prevalent, then you're probably not seeing a lot of fish. But the good
news is,
isn't
it the stuff that floats up and looks like human waste?
Yes. Yes, it's what it's snot grass is the other thing that they call it.
Right.
But it's not a grass at all. It's a cyanobacteria. It's a type of blue-green
algae.
Yeah,
it's just kind of slime that grows on stuff.
Yeah,
and when it dies, it floats to the surface. It looks like human waste, has a bad methane smell to it. So it not only looks like human waste, it can actually smell like human waste.
Yes.
Because that's the same thing that make pig poop smell so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're in an area where that stuff is going on, we've got some of that stuff that's rotting both on the bottom and at the surface, and that's not going to be conducive to your fishing. So move to other areas. And in other areas where there hasn't been a lot of that stuff going on, the bite's been pretty good. Again, we're seeing the snook activity there, especially in the area of Stump Pass. Both ski and rag alleys have been holding quite a bit of fish, and there's been fish on the south side of that as well, all the way down to Gasparilla Pass on the inside. The trout bite has been fairly slow up in Lemon Bay, but the average size fish has been bigger. So we're seeing fish more like in the 16 to 18 inch range, not so much with the 12 inch fish. But like I said, it's been a little bit slower on the pickup. The opposite has been true for redfish in there than it's been everywhere else. We've seen a higher abundance of redfish in most places than we expected, and a smaller size. In Lemon Bay, we're seeing larger fish, but again, fewer. So it's kind of the same way that it's going with the trout. I don't know why that should be the case. I would expect that it has something to do with the food source.
Okay.
But what it would be, I don't know.
Kind of like the dinosaurs eating themselves to death. See? It all works. It all ties right together.
It's all exactly the same.
It's the same thing, only different.
If I agree with you, can we stop talking about it?
Sure. Because it's the same thing, only different.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. I get it myself. I completely understand all this. So, anger pier. See, it's got your attitude. It's anger pier.
I'm not angry. If it had my attitude, it would be the confusion pier. So at the confusion pier, we're seeing some smaller tarpon out there in the lighted areas.
Now you're making me kill the atmosphere here. I'm sitting here and, oh, goodness. Luckily, it's not alive. It's crawling out anywhere. So,
thankfully. Right. So smaller tarpon at night.
It's getting worse. So.
In the lighted areas.
What do you think about lighter now?
The lighted areas.
Okay.
To write it down.
It lit up. So the lighted areas?
The lighted areas. So smaller tarpon in the lighted areas at night. Type it down. Hurry up. I've been hearing about some gags caught out there, but I haven't heard about a keeper yet. They've mostly been in that 18, 20-inch range. Remember, of course, they got to be 24 in order to keep them. And those have been in the deep channel underneath the bridge, which you can indeed cast to from the end of the pier if you're a good caster. So those fish have been down there. We're also seeing fair numbers of snook pretty much morning, noon, and night. The best fish, of course, being caught after dark, but there's been some fish down there to be caught pretty much any time that you go down there, and I've even heard about a couple of fish being caught from the seawall in the middle of the bright blazing day, probably underneath there because they have a good shady spot.
Yeah. Okay. Guess if I put L in front of lighted, it would actually make more
sense.
There
you go, because the lighted areas makes it sound all weird.
All right. Venice?
So Sharkey's Pier, I have not looked to see where they are with their renovation project, but by this point they surely must have taken down all the boards and started rebuilding it. So I don't think that the pier is going to be fishable for a while, at least from the top of the pier itself. Down at the bottom, there have been some whiting and a few snook hanging around the pilings. The snook are probably there just out of habit. Much better fishing just a little ways down at Casperson Beach. So those of you who usually fish the pier, I would just kind of slide down the beach a little bit and fish the rocky areas at Casperson. That's been a lot better. If you have no understanding of how those rocks work, really, really easy to look at it on Google Earth and see where the rocks are and where the sand is, and that will give you a much better indication of where to fish. Try to fish the edges between them if you can. The jetties.
How do you spell Casperson?
Casperson.
Okay. I had it almost right. I had an O.
Okay. Well, that's pretty close. Mm. That's closer than the folks at Sarasota County get it half the time. So. The Venice jetties themselves, the bite for the snook has been absolutely fantastic down there. This has been probably the place to be if you're a snook fisherman in Southwest Florida, and there's been a really interesting mix of sizes too. We've got the smaller males hanging out and a lot of those big girls that people are getting heartbroken by, because of course the jetties are made of rocks, and of course what happens when your line gets run over those rocks, they cut you right off. So a lot of people hooking big fish down there and not landing them. I would say if you want to land a big girl down there at the jetties, I would stick with using 100-pound fluorocarbon leader. That's going to give you your best chance of having it run up against those rocks a couple of times and still get those fish in. If you don't like snook fishing, that's okay. There's been some mackerel down there. There's been some bluefish. There's been some jacks. And all of those have been reachable while you're standing on the rocks. You want something that you can cast a pretty good long ways. So a heavy bucktail jig is a good choice. A heavy compact spoon is also a really good choice. And make sure that you're using the lightest braided line you think you can get away with, because that's going to increase your cast distance.
Okay, or even use a casting bubble.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Whatever you can do to get yourself that extra 20 feet, because that's how far away they're going to be from where you can cast.
All right, out in the Gulf of Mexico.
So, a lot of people super, super excited about red snapper season having been opened, and we're seeing a lot of big fish out there. We're getting reports of red snapper in as close as 70 and 80 feet. Most of those snapper are on the edge of keeper or just barely keepers, which it has to be 16 inches if you're going to keep it. But if you have the opportunity to take your boat out that far, stretch it a little bit farther if you can, because once you get to about 120, 130 feet, we're seeing much better fish. Instead of keeping 16 inches, you're going to be keeping 22 inches and better. And if you can get yourself out to that 180 foot mark, it's not that uncommon for people to come back in with limits of snapper that are averaging 15 pounds apiece.
Okay. How far out was that?
180 feet. 150 to 180. You got to get out there good and deep if you're going to catch those big ones. Now, once you've caught your limit of snapper, which if you get into a good spot is not going to take you very long at all, then start fishing for gag grouper instead. The gag grouper have not been as abundant this year, but the average size has been quite a bit bigger. It's not a huge deal to go out there and catch 20 to 25 pound gags, and we've seen some photos of fish that are 60 and 80 pounds showing up. So some huge gag grouper out there this year. Red grouper, you're probably going to catch red grouper no matter what you do, because they've been fairly abundant out there. If you're lucky, you might catch fish in that 10 to 12 pound range, but a lot of those have been more like bear keepers, 22 inches, even as you're heading into that deeper water, which a lot of people think they're going to catch massive fire truck red grouper once they get out there to 150 feet, and it just doesn't seem to be working out that way. I don't know where our big red grouper have gone, but it's someplace that we don't seem to be able to reach them. So.
Okay. Let's see, that is going to take us, I put a bunch of pictures on here, which I've got to get everything all cleaned up. Buckram Pass.
So we are, as of right now, about 12 hours away from the full moon. So that's going to make things just a little bit wacky for fishing tarpon in there. Tarpon are going to be moving out to do their spawn thing. So it's possible that you might head out into the pass and think, hey, there's going to be tarpon everywhere. And it turns out that there are tarpon absolutely nowhere because they've all run out into the Gulf. They will be back, and once they come back in, then it should be pretty good. We've had some off days over the past, let's say, 10 days, where the lightning storms have chased fish out.
I just talked to Carl just before I got here, and he's out at the third marker out there. There's plenty of tarpon out there, but only one person has gotten a hookup. A lot of fish out there. There's actually quite a few boats out there, but they're really not hitting much, and I think it's, as you said, the weather.
Yeah, the weather makes them act funny, and it's also, you know, they're getting ready to do this spawn run.
You think it's the noise of the thunder, the bright flash of the lightning, or electricity in the water that makes tarpon head out into the Gulf?
I really couldn't answer that question because it would be total, complete conjecture. All I know is that just like with CO2 in the atmosphere, there's a correlation here. And figuring out exactly what the causation is, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I think anybody who claims to know just has a theory that they've decided is the truth. So, you know, I think that all we can do is say when we have those heavy lightning storms, those fish tend to move out into the Gulf of Mexico.
And what's going on the Captiva Pass?
I have not talked to anybody who's fished Captiva.
Okay. And Redfish Pass?
Not talked to anybody fishing redfish either.
Okay. Yeah, 17th Street.
I've heard about a few flounder being caught down there. Snook bite has been pretty good down there, and from there all the way down to the pass itself all along the beach. But other than that...
Okay. Middle Beach?
I haven't talked to anybody who's fished middle. I take that back. I talked to one shark fisherman who's fished middle, and he was catching some bull sharks and a couple of sandbars.
All right. Okay. How do you tell the difference between a bull and a sandbar?
So, the easiest, quickest way is to look between the two dorsal fins. On a sandbar shark, they have what's called an intradorsal ridge, which is kind of like a line of raised skin that runs between the two dorsal fins. So if you see that on a fish, it's definitely not a bull shark. It's either a sandbar shark or a dusky shark.
Okay.
You see that intradorsal ridge.
Sanibel?
The only thing I've heard out of Sanibel has been some tarpon down by the bridge, and also some Spanish mackerel on the outside of the bridge.
Okay. All right. And the Sterile Bay, anything?
No.
Okay. Clusatchee.
Big fat nothing.
Okay. And Cape Coral?
I've heard from some guys who are fishing the outside canals, and they're finding pretty much the same stuff that we're finding in the Punta Gorda canals. They're finding the black drum. They're finding the snook are doing pretty well down there, and some smaller redfish.
Okay. Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey has been giving up a lot of snook lately, more than you would expect for it being that far inside, but it seems like a lot of the fish that aren't doing their spawning thing are hanging out in there, or they may be actively trying to spawn in Matt Lachey Pass, too.
It's pretty salty right there.
Yeah, it is, at least for the moment. When we get a little bit more rain, the Caloosahatchee starts moving some water, that might change.
Well, here, give me just a second. Fishinfranks.com. God, I hate Microsoft. Weather and tides, Peace River. I haven't checked it in a little while. Might as well check it and see what they're doing.
Right, see what the flow looks like.
We have 1,010 cubic feet per second moving. We've got 5.5 feet of water there in Arcadius. We've got some.
Oh yeah, really, you got some fresh water coming down.
We got some brown water hitting the harbor right now. That is a lot of brown water coming down. So. Yeah, that's really good. So the reason that's good is we need that fresh water to finish pushing them snook out to get them. They're still early enough where they might have been through one spawn, but they've got more spawning
to do, and keep them out at the beach where they're going to be most successful.
Yeah, they're going to. That's actually going to get just enough fresh water down the river. If it gets any more, we're going to have some trouble. But at that point, it's just a good push for the snook to get them out a little more into the salty water.
Yep, which may change all of these fishing reports where we talked about snook being in the upper part of the harbor. That's probably going to make them less abundant in all of those places, at least hopefully.
It's only been the last couple days that it started happening.
Yep.
At 7 days ago, there was very little water. It was like almost nothing.
Yeah.
So the last 2-3 days, it's pushed up, and the last day, it's going up another foot or two. So it's pretty recent.
But we're done with Matt Lachey.
Okay.
So don't scroll past it.
Okay, Matt Lachey.
Okay.
Lots of snook.
Lots of snook, and also hearing about a few keeper cobia being caught from the bridge.
Okay.
And, of course, the mangrove snapper. But if I wanted to catch a keeper cobia from shore, that's where I would go. I would go fish the Matt Lachey Bridge. You probably have a little bit better chance of catching a cobia if you fish 41, but you have a better chance of landing a keeper at Matt Lachey.
Cool. All right. Pine Island Sound?
So Pine Island Sound has been, you know, doing what Pine Island Sound does, which is producing a lot of trout because they still have a lot of grass down there. That's the number one place where I'm hearing trout being caught from, despite the fact that it's been warm out there. The cool thing is, in Pine Island Sound, you have grass in deeper areas, so that's where those trout are going to move to. Instead of fishing grass in 2 to 3 feet, look for grass in 6 to 8 feet, and you can find those areas in Pine Island Sound, and that's where the trout have been hanging out. I've also been hearing about fair numbers of flounder, again, on those deeper grass flats. If you want to target the flounder, look for areas where you have mixed sand and grass, because the flounder want to sit on the sand.
Okay.
Rocky areas down there have been producing fair numbers of sharks, too. And again, I wouldn't say huge sharks, but, you know, we're seeing the bonnet heads down there. We're seeing smaller black tips, bull sharks. I would say sharks up to about 4 feet.
Okay. Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla?
I haven't heard anything out of there.
And I just put kind of a place marker there, letting people know that we did, you know, go over
right,
it.
Right. We did discuss that it existed. We didn't skip it.
A little spell correction. Burnt Store, Two Pines.
A little slow there on the flats because your areas up against the trees don't have a whole lot of depth in most of them, but on the higher tides, they're seeing some redfish hanging out underneath those bushes, and the same with the trout. But once you get into those lower tide phases, those fish boogie right off. Now, I'm guessing if you spent some time exploring, you could find some areas outside the bar on the lower tide phases where those fish are hanging out, because they've got to go someplace because they're staying off the flats for that. But you'd have to do a little bit of exploration to find that. We have also been seeing some tarpon rolling outside the bar too.
Okay, back up there.
I haven't heard about anybody catching any, but that doesn't mean that you couldn't.
Okay, outside the bar. All right. And that's going to take us down to the east side, Pirate Harbor North.
Yeah, it's been a little bit slower along there. I have heard about a handful of trout being caught up there, a handful of snook. The one interesting thing that I've heard, and I've heard from two different people, is sawfish being caught in the area pretty much just south of Alligator Creek. So I don't know what key you would want to call that. Both of those sawfish were good size, not huge fish, but in the 6 to 8 foot range, not babies. So that could be some fun if we start seeing more of those fish down there.
Yeah, and it all has to do with, if we get months and months without rain, we get more grass flats and more habitat for the sawfish, the flounder, you know, other fish like that. And it's mostly due to rain. And people always want to blame boats and blame this and blame that, but most of it just has to do with photosynthesis. If the water's murky and the sunlight cannot get to the bottom, plants don't grow without sunlight, and it takes grass to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut.
The creek itself has had some redfish hanging out in the deeper open areas, but they're also catching a lot of catfish while they're catching a handful of redfish. They're fishing with natural bait. I guess if you wanted to try an artificial and skip that across the open area there, you'd probably skip most of the catfish. But
I don't know about that.
Most
if,
of
if
the
there's
catfish.
Sail cats, they're going to hit anything that moves.
Is it most of the catfish?
Yeah, I wish that was a little more true. True, but
we're also
people
seeing
always ask us, you know, what kind of bait did I use? That, you know, I'm catching all these catfish. What kind of bait should I use, you know, to catch these other fish?
Yeah,
I think catfish probably have the most varied diet of any fish there is. So
yeah, the word I like to use for that is a Catholic diet, because that's what it means. It means that they choose from a wide variety of things, and it also messes with people because they have no understanding of what the word Catholic means. That's also where the Catholic religion got its name, because they chose from a wide variety of different religions to pick and piece their religion together.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool. I didn't know that. I learned something new. My edification is increased.
Excellent. It's a good day then.
It's not all bad. I actually was able to walk into a room. I remembered why I was there. I've learned the actual meaning of Catholic.
Now, let's see if you retain any of that.
No.
We'll have a quiz next week.
Yeah, that's going to be it. That's gonna, but because it's mostly useless information, I will probably remember it forever. If it was something I actually needed to know, like the date my sales tax was due, so
right,
I don't get another $1,000
right
fine.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, stuff like that.
So waiting out in front of Ponce, we've seen...
Did it start to just hum a lot?
I didn't hear any difference. No, okay. It was humming earlier, and then it stopped. So maybe it just kind of started again.
Okay. Yeah.
But
So Ponce de Leon.
So yeah, waiting out in front of Ponce, we've seen some redfish hanging out there. I wouldn't call it schools of redfish. I would call it a loose aggregation of redfish hanging out there on the flat in front of the park and in the channel. So I'm guessing they're probably there south of the park too, but of course it's very difficult to wade to there because you have to wade through the channel, which actually means swim across it, and nobody wants to do that for some reason.
Yeah, because you would either end up out in the harbor or way up in PGI.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
I actually one year decided I was going to fish a tournament using a belly boat, which is kind of an inner tube with a seat in it.
Yes, which we don't use here in Florida on account of the alligators.
Well, I actually had the little foot paddles where, you know, you put your foot forward and they fold back, and then as you kick your feet back, the paddles flip out. and I was able to very successfully get across the Punch Channel, walk down the shoreline catching some really great redfish. But when I came back, the tide had picked up, and I ended up going all the way down to where the lake is between Ponce de Leon Canal and PGI, and I'm standing there next to the thing, my thumb out, trying to hitch a ride back up to the boat ramp.
You know, the secret to that is you got to show a little leg. That's how you get a ride.
Yeah, that probably was one of the reasons I didn't get a ride for a while, because I was wearing shorts. You know, they're looking at this. Finally, somebody came by and said, "Frank, what are you doing?" Trying to get a ride back to the boat ramp, because I literally got all the way down. There was no way I was getting back.
Now they have been catching some mangrove snapper there at the shore available fishing spots, but a lot of the keeper fish seem to have been caught out of there, so most of them have been short, unfortunately. But again, if you're trying to catch dinner, stick with bait fish, or as if you're going with Frank's method, utilizing silver sides, and that's probably going to get you the best snapper that are down there at the moment. Also heard about a couple of tremendously huge black drum being hooked but not landed there from the pier, Fry Guys Fishing in the Boat Channel.
Well, some amazing snook fishing, by the way. Have a couple of customers who are going there on a regular basis. They're using big chunks of ladyfish, mullet, blue crab, and they're really hooking some monster snook.
Landing any?
Very, very few.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really know that they actually have landed any of these fish they've caught, but they've been hooking some really, really big snook there.
Gotcha. Well, it's possible those big black drum might have been snook too, because they're using the half crabs and they're fishing in the open water there in the channel, but they're not actually getting a chance to see those fish. They just know that it's something huge that's kind of taking off. So,
yeah, and they're getting a lot of stories. That Ponce has been very interesting, and Ponce de Leon, for all you who don't know this, is a very well-known place, and I'm going to tell everybody about it.
Somebody thought it was a secret spot?
Yeah, that it was, you know, this is their secret spot, and how dare you tell people that they should go there and fish. I'm like, what kind of mental midget thinks that Ponce de Leon is a secret?
Uh-huh.
I have been sending people there since 1984. So, yeah. In the last 6 months that you started fishing there, no one else knew about it before you, Bucky.
Right.
That's why nobody ever built piers there,
yeah,
and boat ramps and docks and a park.
This is how you can tell if nobody knows about your secret spot. If there's a pier there, it's
and
not your
parking
secret
lot.
Spot.
Yeah, there's a parking lot there, and that nobody knows about it because they built that parking lot because...
Well, that's for the playground.
Yeah. God. I mean, sometimes... People absolutely astound me. How dare you send people over to our fishing spot? Really?
I mean, maybe it was a joke, Frank. Were they joking with you? Let's give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that's what it was.
If they were joking with me, I wouldn't be calling them mental midget. I would be much more politically correct, like a misinformed person.
A misinformed mental midget?
Yes, but this is a misinformed mental midget. I mean... I'm sorry, but that's as nice of a term as I can come up with for him. I mean, it kind of reminds me of going back when I first started out. There was literally nobody talking about where the fish were being caught, you know, and I would go down to the bar because I was young, single, then I would go down to the bar at night, and literally it would cause fist fights, actual blows, fist fights. And because I was telling people who didn't live here where they could catch fish.
How dare you?
How dare I? I said, it's my job. No, you're supposed to sell them bait. You're not supposed to tell them where to go. Bite me. And that's when the trouble started. But back then, I used to enjoy that.
Right.
Now,
well, we can see who won that argument, because here you are doing this on a radio show. So.
Yeah, 34 years later, I'm still doing it. I do have a lot of implant teeth, though. There was win and lose on that. So. Anyway, PGI canals.
So again, we're seeing some of those snook hanging out, especially in the lighted areas, especially at night. Some good black drum fishing. Again, we talked about the blue crabs. Cut them in half, use a blue crab. The one thing is that we've been seeing some big jacks up in there, and those big jacks seem to have kind of vanished out of the canals. But in their place, they left some smaller jacks. So if you've been having fun catching those big ones, you can still have fun. Just dial your tackle back a little bit, because instead of seeing fish in the 10 to 15 pound range, we're seeing fish in the 3 to 5 pound range, which are still a hoot.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you always, when I was doing a lot of charters, somebody would hook up to a fish, and I knew it was a jack because I'd seen them blowing up, and they hook him up, and it's doing this big half circle on the boat. Obviously a jack, and he's trying to pull him up. Oh man, this is a monster! I know this fish is like 14 inches long, but the first time you hook a jack of any size over 12 inches, you think you hooked into the bottom of the plug of the Gulf,
right?
And because it's taking him around the boat, it's going here, it's going there. After you've done, a few of them, you kind of learn the techniques, okay, and get them up to the boat a little quicker. But when you first jack Revelle, I would never say anything because I wanted them to have that wonderful surprise of,
right,
of
seeing
it's 14 inches.
Well, but, you take guys who have been fishing for walleye and yellow perch their whole lives, and, those are great fish, but they're not great fighters. And you come down here and you hook into a ladyfish or a jack Revelle or even a sail cat, and yeah, they are amazingly hard fighting fish for their size, and it's great. It's one reason why so many people, when they come down here, don't ever go freshwater fishing again.
Well,
because they try the salt and they say, oh, this is awesome.
It's like if you've been largemouth bass fishing your whole life and you finally make it to the river and you hook a smallmouth, and that smallmouth just starts peeling line, and it's just going and going and going. And it's such a different... It's that air conditioner that's humming in the background.
Okay. It's your air conditioner.
Yeah, I know. But, I'm going to be cool rather than I'm noisy. And it's hard for me to be cool anymore, so I'm going to take every way I can get there. But when you first hook a smallmouth, the difference between a smallmouth and a largemouth is not the muscular of the fish or anything. It's the aerobics program. It's literally a smallmouth usually lives in a river where they have to fight the current all the time. A largemouth lives in a lake where he's sitting in a big easy chair. He's not exercising at all, except maybe to go eat something every once in a while. But they're not running around doing stuff. With a smallmouth, just to stay in place, they have to fight the current. And with saltwater fish, the tide's going in and then the tide's going out and constantly fighting the current, having to move locations. It's a lot of work for a fish to live in saltwater or in a river. So the fish caught in moving water are always in better physical condition. Where if you take a largemouth, he's a big fish and he's going to make a huge burst of fight, but it's not going to last that long. Because like if I got in a fight right now, I'm going to give her hell for a couple of minutes.
And then you're done.
Pretty much going downhill real quick after that. If I don't get him out in the first, I got about six punches, and then it's pretty much my butt's grass. And it's the same thing with a largemouth. A massive fight, but it's short-lived. We're
right.
A smallmouth, a jack Revelle, these fish, they're just really...
Well, unlike a jack or a ladyfish, that fish swims his whole life. From the
exactly.
time he's a larva to the time he dies, he is swimming. That
and
tail's beating.
Moving. So a lot of energy. Gilcrest Pier, by the way.
Gilcrest Pier. I have heard absolutely nothing whatsoever from Gilcrest Pier.
I actually am going to put in their sharks. And a possible cobia to be caught.
I don't disbelieve it.
Gilcrest Pier, people are finding out that there is some fish there because people went to the outside of the pier and were casting away from the pier, and now some of the people have gone out in the pier and are casting along the seawall. They're finding jacks, snook, which I haven't heard of any in the last week, but the people fishing out from there are actually getting, there's been a cobia caught and a couple of sharks. It's not great fishing over there, but it is pretty good, and people are beginning to figure out how to do it off the pier, and a lot of it is understanding how the pier works. So it's getting better there at Gilcrest, and it's a very nice place to go. The Alligator Creek Reef, which is in the harbor just south of Ponce de Leon, and if you're going out looking for the reef, we get a lot of people who literally think they're going to go like 2 minutes south of Ponce de Leon and be at the reef. If you're going 20 miles an hour, it's, you know, 5 to 10 minutes south. It's not right there. It's a few miles. It's a couple miles down.
This is the easiest reef to find, too, because it has these huge markers on both ends of it.
You have to be patient. You get out there and you go, it should be right there. It should be right there. And you're kind of going and going, and you're not really believing that it's that far away.
Right.
And I've several people have turned around just before I think just they would have spot it. Right. Big concrete markers, white light, and, you know, lots of boats and stuff on some days.
Well, here's the thing. If you can't find Alligator Creek Reef, maybe don't ever try to find any other reef ever, because you're not going to find those if you can't find this one.
Yeah, if you can't find that one, you really, you need to, like, do something to make yourself calmer. So, anyway, I am going to throw in a quick thing for Cart City. If you're coming down next season, you need to, you know, rent a golf cart or get something. They're down the street from us on the opposite side of the road. Some of the nicest people I've ever had the pleasure to deal with, and that's why they're there. They cannot pay to be there. But, and I've actually paid them money to work on my golf carts and stuff, and they're just very fair. It's not cheap, it's not expensive, very fair place. But I just wanted to throw in a thing for Cart City, because awesome folks.
Cool. So we're going to start this with the thing that's might not be there anymore, and the thing that should be there, but that I haven't heard about, which is the tarpon were there last
okay,
week.
And you say I'm a bitch.
I know.
Understand.
I know. But okay. Here's the thing.
Okay. Let's talk about the thing that probably isn't there, but could have been there.
No, wait a minute. The smaller tarpon were there last week, but I haven't heard about anybody reporting them this week. But I don't see anything that had changed, so they should be there. The cobia, I haven't heard of anybody catching them, but knowing that they're in other places up in the upper harbor, they've got to be out there. So if you're out there and you're willing to fish cobia methods, then you're probably going to catch some cobia fish. They've got to be there. Now, I have heard about some Goliath grouper on there, and those are fish that people are fishing for mangrove snapper, and they're hooking into solid, immovable objects that somehow are moving.
What do you think, gag grouper?
I think they're probably Goliaths.
Okay, but gag grouper do show up there.
It's possible that you might have some gags there. I wouldn't expect to find a keeper, but very possible to see gag grouper there, especially with the salt levels that we have right now. Like we mentioned earlier, the Peace River is flowing, and once it gets flowing pretty good, the gags don't like too much fresh water, so that might chase them off of there. But they also might stick around, because remember, gags do grow up inshore, and juveniles spend the year round on the grass flats, regardless of what the salinity is.
Yeah, no, and it's just weird. You would think we would catch so many more gag grouper because there's a lot of them out in the Gulf. So they must leave at a very small size.
It's supposed to be about 14 inches before they move offshore.
I have a hard time believing that because I catch them regularly off of Boquilla on the flats where they get all the bait from. I get them at the south end of Pine Island there between St. James City and Sanibel in that slow and awake zone. Catch them in little paddle tail shads, but very seldom. I mean, we're talking 8 to 12 inches, maybe a 14 inch every once in a while, but not enough of them to say, like, right now you go out in the Gulf and there's a ton of them out there. I think they need to rethink their thunk on that one, because I just don't know that. Is there anything else there at the Alligator Creek Reef?
Not that I've heard about.
Okay, so the deep
But yes, holes. There's definitely something else there at the Alligator Creek Reef. I mean, just because we didn't put it in the report doesn't mean it's not there. Don't be ridiculous.
Okay, I'll go with that. All right. The deep holes in the harbor.
Random scattering of tarpon, not big numbers, not yet. After this spawn, we may see more of those fish moving up inside. That's a random assumption, so don't take it as gospel truth. But I wouldn't be shocked if we saw a few more fish move up into the harbor after this spawn. Have not heard too much about sharks up there, but I expect, again, you know, we're still just at the wrong time to see it. Other than that, guys have been finding lots and lots of catfish.
Okay. RKS, okay. And freshwater fishing.
Freshwater fishing. The Mayan cichlids are on fire, dude. fire. They are loving this weather that we've been having. Mayan cichlids are tropical from Central America. They love it hot. The hotter it gets, the happier they are. They don't care about water temperatures in the 90s. They don't care about having a lot of salt in their water. So they've been in the brackish canals. They've been in the freshwater canals. They've been in the lakes, even in shallow areas. And they've just been very active and ready to feed. So they've been making up.
Just so I get this right, how do you spell Mayans?
M-A-Y-A-N is Mayan. And do you want to spell cichlid or do you want to just put Mayans?
No, Mayans.
Okay.
M-A-Y-A-N apostrophe F? Or
no,
just
no
S?
Apostrophe, just an S.
Okay. All right, well, I guess if I actually spell it right, I'd get rid of the red lines. I guess that's why. Okay.
Yeah. All so right. The Mayans are just killing it out there. It's just been amazing. Tilapia are in active spawn mode. And we've seen them guarding their nests. When they're guarding their nests, if you want to toss something on top of that nest, then 50-50, either the fish is just going to run away from you, or he's going to do what he's supposed to do and go guard his nest and take the thing off of it. It depends on how many times that tilapia has been caught before. If he's never been caught, chances are good he's going to take it. If he's been caught before, he's probably just going to ignore you because he knows what you're up to. Bass bite has been a little bit slow. However, I have not heard too much in the past few days since the rains have picked up. I imagine that those rains are going to fire things up because that's the way it always, always, always goes.
And well, the only thing about it is a lot of the guys, the bass were hitting all over the open water. They were hitting all, top waters, crankbaits out in the middle. They were doing the worms, they were doing the snakes. And the guys were fishing so much open water. In the last couple of weeks, the water temp went way up. The sun got more intense.
And they forgot to fish cover?
I think they just didn't go to the cover where the bass were going to move to. This, with all this rain and the cloudy weather, it's going to bring that bass fishing back on. I am selling so much more bass stuff than, right now we're probably at 25% of our business freshwater.
Wow.
Which is a huge.
That's significant.
Huge. Chunk. Usually we've been 10 to 15% of our business in the freshwater, but some of the guys are fishing freshwater most of the time and saltwater a little bit. But they're finding all these places to walk up and go bass fishing. They're putting their boats in, they're sliding boats in. They're really getting creative, but kind of going back to, this is kind of fun.
Right.
And they really, really have brought, plastic worm sales are off the hook, but it's been crazy how much bass fishing is going on right now. So, hey guys, thank you very much. My bass fishing stuff is going completely crazy at the moment. All right, let me see if I can find this. Of course not. So, get it open. I got to do the tarpon map, and it's going to take me a second to get there. Because I wasn't ready because Josh and I weren't planning on doing this, but we talked about it last night and we said we got to get it done. Okay. I keep forgetting when I did this file, it was trap, not tap. Okay.
Trap?
Yeah, I spelled it wrong. So I keep going to look for it and go,
how un-Frank-like to spell something wrong. Wow.
Jeez. All right. Third tries the charm. Okay, that'll work. All right. Now we do this in a series of multicolored dots, which red dots are the best places to fish. And so I'm going to mark red dots out around the end of the Boca Raton Channel.
Yeah, way out there.
And another grouping out a little further than that. So, how is it? Where else would be the best place to catch tarpon?
Boy, that's been challenging.
Okay, where's a 50-50 shot?
Well, we can go up into Gulf Cove and we can look for some of those little tarpon.
Not
up there.
Little tarpon, these are full-size tarpon.
You want full-size tarpon.
Just full-size tarpon.
Okay. 50-50 shot, boy.
I'm going to say between Stump Pass and along the beaches.
Yeah, there's going to be some out there. like I said, there's a thin scattering up in the upper part of the harbor, but man, it's been thin. It's less than 50-50. I'm trying to think where else there'd be a
reasonable
shot.
Well, we have white dots for chance. But 50-50, anything.
How far how far down does your map go? Does it go down to Caloosahatchee?
Yes.
Okay, put a yellow dot down there by the Sanibel Causeway.
Gotcha. All right, so now we're going to white dots, chance of tarpon.
Your white dots can go almost anywhere, honestly. You know, there have been some fish up at the 41 Bridge. There have been some fish over around El Jabin, but not great numbers in any point. You can put those out there in the middle of the harbor. You can put them at Alligator Creek Reef because you have a possibility of running across those fish almost anywhere right now. And especially, like I said, after this spawn, those fish are going to scatter out a little more.
Okay, if you're going to do pink dots, which is night fishing, 41?
Yes. Yeah, I would go to 41. I would go to El Jabin, and I would also go to the causeway there at Sanibel, too.
All right, what about Cape Coral Bridges, anything like that?
I haven't really heard anything out of there yet. I wouldn't go with the pink dots there yet. I mean, naturally,
how about
you
Matt
could
Lachey?
Put white dots there. Yes. Yeah, I would give Matt Lachey a shot.
All right. Placida, Anger Pier, anything like that?
No. Well, yeah. There's been some of those tarpon out there, but you said you want big tarpon.
Yeah, these have been big tarpon.
These have been small tarpon out there at Anger. All
right.
So
I guess I call it good for right now. All right. Yeah, that's the tarpon map that we do. And yes, as you found out last night, people drove over because we didn't have the map up. In some ways it was kind of cool because we had a lot of people in this weekend going, there's no fishing report, you're gonna have to tell us about it. I said, well, and some of them actually enjoyed doing it in person.
Yeah, it's different and it's fun, but ultimately what you ended up doing is spending more time doing fishing reports in person than you would have spent to put them on the website.
But it's definitely more fun in person.
It can be more fun, yes.
The guys who drove over from the other coast last night that you dealt with.
I always prefer face-to-face. You know, with stuff like this, when you're putting it out there on the internet or over the airwaves like we do with our radio show on Kix, you never know exactly what people are getting out of it when they're listening to it. But when you're doing face-to-face, you understand exactly what people are getting out of it, and they're able to ask you the little bit more in-depth questions that go to the information that they particularly want, which is always really helpful.
Yeah, but it's still fun, but yeah, we understand, and we are endeavoring to persevere to keep the fishing reports flowing, and I think Robert's coming back this week, isn't he?
He is supposed to be back on Friday. He is not going to be on my show on Saturday because he wants that day to recuperate. So I don't think that he's operational again until Sunday or possibly Monday.
So which means he won't be here until Tuesday.
Well, listen, I'm not really in charge of his schedule.
No, it's all good. I mean, you know, he works hard.
All I know is that the man is in Costa Rica, and he's doing exactly what he wanted to do.
Did you
he's
see the picture of the rooster fish?
I saw the picture of his rooster fish. You told me that she caught one twice as big. For some reason, he didn't send me that picture. I don't know why. So.
Yeah, I saw this picture of Christina with a giant rooster fish, and then a little while later, Robert sends me a picture of him with a rooster fish. I think that he forgot he sent me the one with Christina's rooster fish. So, yeah, Robert's on his and is having a normal fishing trip for Robert.
Yep, exactly. So, but you know what? It's perfect. It's exactly the way that he would rather have it. If you told him, listen, Robert, you're going to decide whether you catch the bigger fish or she catches the bigger fish, there's no way he'd ever catch the bigger one. It would always be her.
And he's actually caught big rooster fish
before. Sure he has. But you know what he would do? He would give those big rooster fish away to everybody else. He would rather that they have the experience and he get to experience it through them, because that's just the kind of dude he is.
Yeah, mostly, but I've heard him lament on a couple of occasions about a couple of really, really big fish that he didn't get to catch that other people did. So it's just been fun. Is there anything else that we need to talk about?
Well, we didn't talk about the the nighttime fishing for bass, which has been pretty darn good. Like you said, those fish underneath the cover, but they do come out at night and they're doing their bass thing much more actively. The one thing that I will caution you about is that the alligators have also been doing their alligator thing out there at night, and they are much less afraid of you after dark. So if you're planning to do any nighttime bass fishing, just be cautious. Make sure that you actually are using a headlamp so that you can keep an eye on what's going on around you. A red headlamp won't destroy your night vision, but will allow you to see alligator eye shine. So in case they're sneaking up on you, you'll be aware of it.
Been there, done that.
And remember, too, in Florida, the law says that you may open carry while you are actively fishing. So strap that 9mm on your hip and be ready for whatever the night brings.
I'm less about the 9mm, more about a revolver, because
that's cool if you want to
carry shoot underwater or above
A-okay.
Water. You know? And the nice thing about a revolver is if you pull the trigger and it don't go bang, pull it again, it will.
Pack on your 44 Dirty Harry style, however you want to tote it, Frank.
Yeah,
that's all about you.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, that's what I think. It's all about me. So anyway, let me see. Terry says, why did you do this? I said, because we haven't done a fishing report in 3 weeks.
Right.
She says,
you can't leave people hanging.
You're having a day off. You're relaxing. I said, well, that's over with.
Well, it was my day off, too. So you know what? This is what we do for the people who need the information. You know what? It's almost always worth it.
I would say it is. I enjoy it. We have fun. So, and we've got a bunch of new radio shows on the horizon. Just a ton of them that are going to be coming to the website and radio stations near you. So, keep your ears open, boys and girls. Got a lot of cool stuff. Coming into the next season, I think you guys are going to be really happy with what's going on with the website and some other stuff. And we got a lot of cool stuff. We've redone the store, and now we're going to redo our internet stuff. So stay tuned. We'll catch you on the next one.
Talked
thank
all
you.
The way through the end of the song.
Thank you, Captain Josh Olive, fishcoach.net. Go on his website, check him out, boys and girls. Say goodbye, Josh.
Goodbye, Josh.